This podcast is brought to you by AJ Products, made in Sweden for the rest of the world. Visit ajproducts.ie to see how we can make your workplace work for you.
In Libya, there's a very particular military training camp. It's run by former members of the Irish Defence Forces. They're employed by a company called Irish Training Solutions, and they're not training the official Libyan army that's recognised internationally by other states. Instead, the company provides military training for a rogue army, headed by Libyan strongman Khalifa Haftar.
Heroes, the time has come. It is time to advance.
Irish Times Europe correspondent Naomi O'Leary has been investigating the company and its operations in the volatile African country.
They were teaching snipers. They were doing reconnaissance, machine gun support, also stuff like how to storm buildings, how to launch an assault on houses, how to clear rooms, that kind of thing.
These men are no longer in the Irish Army, yet some of them are wearing Irish flags and patches from their former units on their camouflage.
So this is an issue. Clearly, it might be difficult for an outside observer to distinguish whether these were real Irish forces or not, since they might look to the untrained eye like they are.
And it's also an apparent breach of a UN arms embargo, which prohibits the supply of weapons and military training to Libya. Tánaiste Micheál Martin, who's also Minister for Defence, has called the revelations deeply shocking, saying they cause reputational damage to Ireland and our defence forces. This is in the news from the Irish Times. I'm Bernice Harrison. Today, how former Irish soldiers are training a Libyan militia. Naomi O'Leary, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
So, Naomi, we're going to be talking about a company called Irish Training Solutions. Who are the people behind this company and what sort of training solutions do they advertise?
So Irish Training Solutions is an Offaly-based Irish company with three directors, Nigel McCormick, Danny Klusky and Darren Kelly. And it's founded by former members of the Defence Forces and Ireland's elite Army Rangers Wing. And they offer training, for example, to people. And they do training in stuff like security and close protection. But over the past year, since January 2023, they seem to have expanded into something quite different.
So your report has revealed that Irish Training Solutions has been providing training to the army of a military strongman called Khalifa Haftar, who rules over a large part of Libya. So let's take a very brief detour here. For the purposes of what we're talking about today, what do we need to know about the situation in Libya now and the role of this strongman, Khalifa Haftar?
The road to Tripoli. This is General Haftar's self-styled militia. It's substantial and it's moving west in a bid to take the capital.
So Libya is currently divided between two rival administrations. Haftar controls much of the east and south of the country, along with his sons, who he's placing in senior positions, powerful positions within his army, which is called the Libyan National Army, or that's how it's usually known as abroad. And then there's the government in Tripoli, which is opposed to him. And that's the official government that's recognised by the United Nations. There was a civil war in Libya that raged for years up until a ceasefire in 2020. And during that period of conflict, Haftar tried to conquer Tripoli with his forces. He wasn't successful in doing that.
For Libyans, this is another escalation in a long and gritty power struggle. Conflict has rumbled on since the fall of Muammar Gaddafi in 2011, with militias vying for power and control of Libya's oil.
He's backed by some international powers, the United Arab Emirates, Egypt, and to a certain extent Russia. So the Russian mercenaries, the Wagner Group, who are present in many parts of Africa, are present in key strategic locations in Haftar's territory, and they've lent him support at different times. It's in that context that there is currently an arms embargo on Libya that was approved by the UN Security Council way back in 2011 that prohibits the supply of weapons in an attempt to stop Libya from descending into rival warring factions, which is really what has happened.
So, Naomi, we now know that this Irish company has been training the army of this Libyan strongman, Khalifa Haftar. What's your understanding of what happens in these training camps? What kind of training is involved?
What Irish Training Solutions was invited to do was to train a particular division of the Libyan National Army called the 166 Infantry Brigade. They're ground forces. And the job that Irish Training Solutions was given was to take a few scores of these guys and train them up to be like a special operations force unit. They were teaching snipers. They had, you know, they were doing reconnaissance, machine gun support, also stuff like how to storm buildings, how to launch an assault on houses, how to clear rooms, that kind of thing. I have a lot of photos and video footage of this, and it shows a lot of practice in like a shooting range, which has been dug out of the ground in Libya. All of this was overseen, I suppose, by the son of Khalifa Haftar. So that strongman who we were talking about, he's 80 years old. It seems that he's seeking to transfer over power to a certain extent to his sons. And the son who's considered the real rising power now in Libya is called Saddam Haftar. He's his youngest son. And he was the guy who I'm told was overseeing this program. Saddam Haftar came to view like a demonstration of the 166 Infantry Battalion, where they showed off everything they'd learned from Irish Training Solutions in a live fire demonstration. And you can see pictures of that. They were released by the Libyan National Army. So this training took place in 2023, culminating in this demonstration or show. And I'm told that the contract was renewed again for a large sum, over 8 million for 2024. And it has begun again this year.
So the training is ongoing right now?
That's my understanding, yeah.
In the photos you just mentioned there of the training taking place, can you see any Irish people involved in it?
Yeah. So we can see some of the members, some of the directors of Irish Training Solutions were actually there. So Danny Klusky, who's a director and, you know, co-owns the company, he is seen in a number of photos wearing combat fatigues on the ground in Libya. And he's wearing a number of badges which are identifiable. For example, on his shoulder, he's wearing the patches or flashes of his former unit in the Irish Army, the Army Rangers Wing. So they have a badge called the Fine Ógaelach and another badge which is like their logo. And he's wearing both of them on his arm, which is quite serious because it leads to a potential risk of confusion with genuine Irish forces in an overseas conflict where Ireland isn't actually involved. So this is an issue. I've spoken to sources close to the defence forces about this. It's a real problem if Ireland is perceived to be combatant in an overseas conflict. Clearly, it might be difficult for an outside observer to distinguish whether these were real Irish forces or not, since they might look to the untrained eye like they are, and particularly if they're wearing some kind of uniform. So this, I'm told, could pose danger to genuine Irish troops. There are Irish troops out in Africa in different, you know, on different missions, usually peacekeeping missions, but they could be perceived now as being non-neutral actors that were on a particular side of a conflict.
There's also a video, and we've put that video up on the Irish Times site as well. It's a short video. It's in the style of a movie trailer with, you know, action movie music and graphics. Now, there's no voiceover, but text does appear on the screen. And Naomi, for the benefit of our listeners now, could you tell us what it says?
Yeah, sure. So this video starts with like a mock production company start. So we see like a frozen mountain with a crown of stars. And then it reads, "Leaving behind their homeland, four young men set out to discover a world of adventure. Summer 2023. And then what we see are images of men in army camouflage gear in this desert training camp setting. And they've got weapons, they're doing target practice, and they're also smiling and posing for photographs. The text continues and it gives some of the names of the men. So it says Darren the Dazzler Kelly, for example, and Danny Eagle Eye Klusky. Danny Klusky is seen at this point shooting what seems to be some kind of automatic rifle in the target range. It gives a couple of other names and then concludes a Libyan summer. So it's quite a celebratory, I suppose, memento that they've made of the training that took place last year.
Well, I mean, it seems like they're having a good time out there.
It would seem so. I mean, my impression on seeing this video is that they just think it's really cool what they're doing. And I mean, these are guys with army experience and maybe they miss being overseas and the excitement of the weapons and, you know, this kind of context. So it really seems like they're kind of enjoying themselves out there.
Coming up, the big money to be made training rogue armies in Libya. I'll continue my conversation with Naomi O'Leary after this short break.
This podcast is brought to you by AJ Products, creating a more friction-free office. Made in Sweden for the rest of the world. Visit ajproducts.ie to see how we can make your workplace work for you.
Naomi, do we know how much Irish Training Solutions are being paid for these services?
The contract in 2023 was paid out in two installments of 4.6 million and 6.7 million. And then it was renewed at 8.4 million in 2024. So these are substantial amounts. We should distinguish, however, between the amounts being earned by this company and the amounts being earned by the trainers on the ground. 300 euro a day, which isn't very much for this kind of work. This is pretty risky. And so they're definitely not getting rich off this. It's worth noting as well that halfway through this training course last year, the source of salaries changed. So previously, they were being paid by the Irish company. And then after that, the source of the salaries changed to become to start coming from a company that was based in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates called SOF Training. SOF is a common military acronym that stands for Special Operations Forces. Well, they were told it was for tax benefits reasons, but their interpretation was that this was also to sort of try and avoid any potential crackdown by Irish authorities if this stuff was going to be discovered.
As you said, this army in Libya, it's not the official army of the country. Khalifa Haftar's leadership is not universally recognised internationally as a legitimate political force in Libya. Is it permitted for an Irish company to provide military training to such an army?
So the issue is, as I mentioned, there's been a UN arms embargo in place on Libya since 2011. The idea of the arms embargo was to prevent the degeneration of the country into a patchwork of warring fiefdoms, because all these different factions were getting international assistance and weapons were flowing into the country, and the idea was to stop that. Now, under the text of this UN arms embargo, which was agreed by the Security Council, it says, quote, that it forbids, quote, technical assistance, training, financial or other assistance related to military activities. So training is quite explicitly banned. It also prohibits the provision of, quote, arms and related material of all types, end quote. I'm also told by several people familiar with the situation that Irish Training Solutions brought in material for the training, uniforms and gear, stuff like, you know, combat fatigues, helmets, body armor, boots, backpacks, that kind of thing. So, you know, under this UN arms embargo, the state of Ireland has an obligation to enforce it. So that would include preventing any potential breaches by national companies. Companies are also, you know, if they are providing services in Libya, they're required to check that it's not in conflict with any domestic legislation that's enforcing the UN arms embargo.
Foreign help on the front lines of Libya's civil war. The United Nations accuses several nations of violating an arms embargo. How are outside powers redrawing the battle lines of this conflict, and can they be stopped?
During the course of my reporting, it emerged that this may be a wider issue going beyond Irish Training Solutions. There's actually a number of Western companies that are doing these kind of training sessions, and they've each been assigned like a different part of Haftar's army. Some specializing, for example, in, let's say, parachuting, or, you know, they might take on another specialty. And they come from European countries, including Italy, Spain, from Australia as well. So it seems that, you know, the potential flouting or the apparent flouting of the UN arms embargo is potentially quite widespread.
Naomi, you pointed out that the Irish Defence Forces has itself been active in the enforcement of this embargo. Isn't that the case?
Part of the reason why this is embarrassing to Irish authorities is because right as this training was getting underway in 2023, Ireland was actually sending a naval ship, the Ellie William Butler Yeats, to patrol the waters off Libya to enforce this UN arms embargo.
Primary focus of Operation Irini is to enforce the arms embargo on Libya. We'll go on board where we have suspicion that there's contraband being transported. We'll search the vessel and then ultimately detain it and bring it into port for further inspection.
The idea was that this ship would be intercepting illicit shipments of arms and also helping to deal with migrant boat crossings as well. So it would appear, you know, that this involvement by an Irish company is directly contrary to the policy of the Irish state at the time. And it particularly raises questions given the apparently quite close links of members of this company to the Defence Forces, and particularly the Army Rangers Wing, given that, you know, they're former members, and according to my reporting, they sought to recruit people out of the Irish Army and out of the Rangers Wing. Some of them, I'm told, were still on leave or very recently discharged at periods where they would have still been covered by military law.
So we've talked about how this type of activity may be in breach of the embargo. And we've also talked about the potential for a sort of negative impact on Ireland's reputation overseas. The fact that this activity may be seen as having kind of a seal of approval of the Irish state, when in fact, I mean, it doesn't. And that it may endanger the safety of Irish soldiers on genuine missions elsewhere. There's also an ethical dimension, isn't there? I mean, you've touched on it. What is the impact of the involvement of these sorts of professional military training outfits on the situation in Libya?
It can be difficult to report from within Libya itself. And what we do know is that the country is very divided. The people of Libya have been denied a sort of normal country for a long time now, with conflict, the prevention of the holding of elections and so on. And what we've heard from repeated reports from UN experts is that it's the involvement of international powers and private military contractors as well that are responsible for prolonging this conflict because of the flow of weapons. It makes the conflict more difficult to resolve because it gets tied up with other international rivalries like that of Russia and Turkey in Syria, for example. And it all gets drawn into this struggle for influence and power in Libya and in wider Northern Africa as well.
You contacted Irish Training Solutions for comment about all this. Has anyone responded?
Yeah, of course, I've been calling them and messaging them almost every day, trying to get responses. I did speak to Danny Klusky, called him. He picked up the phone somewhere, which sounded rather far away. I explained that, you know, I had this story and I talked him through all the details of everything that we've just gone through. And I asked him, would he like to challenge any of those details or would he like to comment in any way at all? And he said, I have nothing to say about that. And that was the extent of our conversation. He declined to comment. But he was fully informed of everything. And I also followed up with numerous messages to him to give him a chance to comment if he wanted to.
Naomi, this is definitely far more than just embarrassing for the Irish Defence Forces. Taoiseach Micheál Martin, he's the Minister for Defence. He has responded to your story and he's called your revelations deeply shocking, saying that they cause reputational damage to Ireland and our defence forces. Now, that is very, very strong. You contacted, obviously, in the course of your research for this story, the defence forces.
I can read out their response in full. So in response to my questions, the defence forces said, the defence forces cannot confirm the identity of individuals serving or who may have served in the Army Ranger Wing for reasons of both state and personal security. Oghlí na hÉireann can confirm that five individuals named in your query are no longer serving in the Defence Forces. The information you've requested is classed as personnel under Section 37.1 and 37.5 of the Freedom of Information Act. So essentially they're saying that they can't really tell us about dates of discharge or confirm whether the people who are named to me as, you know, either very recent or ongoing members of the Defence Forces were moonlighting in Libya at the same time as they were either covered by military law or were using periods of leave in the Defence Forces. So that's as far as I've gotten with them. But I'm hoping they'll be a little bit more forthcoming in the future.
What is drawing former Irish soldiers to this work, to become trainers in Libya? What does it say, I suppose, about our Defence Forces that they would end up doing this kind of work?
I think that, you know, something that it does show is it does reflect some of the structural issues that there are in Ireland with the Defence Forces in terms of low pay and poor career prospects after being discharged. You know, the fact that guys might be looking for work like this and there might be enough people like to try and take it up. And I do also think there's an aspect of adventurism as well. You can really see that in the photos and in particularly the video, where it seems like, you know, some of these guys have had high adrenaline careers with statuses as, you know, exciting soldiers, shooting weapons, things like that. And for some of them, it's attractive to be able to repeat an experience like that. And I think you can see that in how, you know, how they were taking photos and stuff.
There's just one last thing I have to ask you about, and that's a very interesting detail in this story, and that's that the Irish Training Solutions Company, they're not the only organisation providing these kinds of services to Khalifa Haftar. Also present in Libya, in these training camps, is the Wagner Group, this infamous Russian mercenary group that has played such a big role in the war in Ukraine. You reported there's some sort of skirmish between the Irish former soldiers, the trainers, and Wagner. What happened?
Yeah, so Wagner troops, these are mercenaries from Russia. They're present in many African countries. Sometimes they're seen as a kind of covert arm of Russian foreign policy. What they do is essentially they provide security to strongmen, mostly in Africa, in return for the rights to exploit natural resources, like logging rights or drilling rights, mining rights, that kind of thing. So they are heavily present throughout Haftar's territory, and they've played a very important role in supporting Haftar at different points. On two occasions, Wagner forces shot towards the Irish Training Solutions trainers while they were doing their work. And on the second occasion, one of the Irish Training Solution guys returned fire at the Wagner forces. Why this happened, we can only speculate. I mean, technically, they are on Haftar's side, so you'd wonder why they would be hostile to the Irish Training Solutions guys, but it could be that they see them as rivals for getting military contracts, for example. That could be one potential explanation. But the idea of them exchanging fire with these guys, some of whom may have been wearing Irish tricolour patches, this really underscores the risk of having people overseas in uniforms that, you know, might suggest that they're affiliated with Ireland or some kind of irregular or regular Irish forces. It really shows, you know, the risk of the impression of Ireland, particularly Ireland's neutrality, being compromised in a situation like this.
Naomi, thanks very much.
Thank you.
That's it for today. For more on this ongoing story, subscribe at irishtimes.com/subscribe. I'm Bernice Harrison. This episode was produced by Declan Conlon and Suzanne Brennan. In the news, we'll be back tomorrow.